Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to talk to you today on the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter number 5, I'll just read here, starting in verse number 15. Ephesians chapter number 5, look here, verse number 15. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So like I said, I'm going to preach here out of verse 18 there, being filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for such a blessing of a day here in your house today, Lord. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us here again this afternoon. But now, Lord, I do need you. I do pray now that you fill me with your Spirit here today to preach your message here on the filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you give me your words, your direction, your wisdom, and clarity of thought here today. And Lord, I ask and pray that you do what only you can do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, over the last year that I've been here, we've seen souls saved. Amen. We've seen people baptized, and we've seen people added to the church. Amen. And I believe that the Lord has been working in each one of your lives here at Gilead Baptist Church. But my question is that enough? Is that enough? Is there anything missing? What is lacking here at Gilead Baptist Church? Are we missing something? Well, let me ask you this. What is the one thing we need more than anything else? What is the one thing? It's not that we need to fill our building to capacity each week. That would be great, but that's not our greatest need. Hey, it's not that we need to see more converts weekly. That would be amazing and great, but that is not our greatest need. It's not that we need to keep an active outreach program. That's all great and nice and needed, but that is not our greatest need. Each one of the things, and there's many more to list, each one of these things would be the result of obtaining that very one thing we need the most. What is that, you say? That is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you were to say to me today, you say, "Well, preacher, I just need to be healthy. I need to get in shape." Well, physically speaking, well, there are things that we can do, generally speaking, right? We might be able to change our eating habits, and we might be able to incorporate some exercise programs. But generally speaking, good health, right, in a very broad sense, can come from a particular program, a particular training routine. But now, as far as spiritually speaking, for a Christian to have a healthy Christian life, you must be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command. And see, most Christianity today is content with not being filled with the Spirit. They do not know what being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. I think it's one of the greatest tragedies within our churches today is that lack of Holy Spirit power. Right, we can look back in the book of Acts and see they had the Holy Spirit of power. And when they spake with boldness and people were saved. But the reason I think a lot of churches today are stagnant and dormant and aren't doing anything is because we're doing what we're doing, and we're doing it in the flesh. We're doing it in our own strength, and there's no power from God. Romans 8:8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." The reason, probably a good reason, that most Christians are not living in victory, we're not living the victorious Christian life, is because there's no power. There's no fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. We must be filled with the Spirit if we're going to overcome temptations. Hey, if we're going to overcome sin, if we're going to live in this wicked and dying and lost world, we're going to need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to defeat these things. And Jesus is our greatest example in the Scriptures. Over and over in the Scriptures, we can read example after example of how Jesus was led by the Spirit or filled by the Spirit. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? And we know what happens next. He was tempted by the devil, right? But he resisted the devil. He defeated the devil there. But let me tell you this about the Holy Spirit. Just because a person gets emotional, and just because a person might jump up and down and scream and weep or start speaking in gibber-jabberish and lay down on the floor in convulsions, that's not evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, it could be a spirit, but it's not evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. And what I'm talking about today is the Holy Spirit of God and how we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's important to note, too, that the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third part of the Trinity. In 1 John 5:7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And so today we're going to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So number one thing I want you to see is the command. Right? Being filled with the Spirit is a command. So look there at verse number 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And right here it says, I want you to say it with me, "But be filled with the Spirit." Amen. That's the command. The command is right there that we are to be filled with the Spirit. But I want you to look at the verse right before that. In verse number 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let me tell you, you can know the will of God right here. Verse number 18 gives us the will of God. Verse 18 tells us what is the will of God for you and what isn't the will of God and for you in your life. And here in verse 18, I can tell you it's not God's will for you to be drunk with wine. It's not God's will for you to be drunk with wine. Well, why is that? You say, well, because when you're drunk with wine, you're under the influence of alcohol. You're under the influence of that wine. Well, I've heard people say, well, preacher, I can drink 6 beers before I get drunk. And so it's okay if I socially go out and I drink and I have 1 beer. Well, listen, you do the math. 1/6, you're 1/6 drunk. If it takes 6 and you drink 1, you're 1/6 drunk. But here's the thing with alcohol, it doesn't stop at 1. It doesn't stop at 1. 1 might be the first time, but the next time it's 2, and then you're 1/3 of the way drunk. And the next time it'll be 6 and you're fully drunk. And the next time it'll be 10. That's how alcohol works. And it's never God's will for you to be under the influence of alcohol. But you know what it is God's will? It is God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit, the same exact way that Jesus was, over in the Scriptures. You know, it's interesting, too, when you read through the book of Acts, and it's great we're doing that in Sunday school, but in the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the disciples were accused of being under the influence of alcohol, right? Of alcohol. The Bible says in Acts 2:13, "These men are full of new wine." These men are full of new wine. Why? Because they were under the influence of something. But it wasn't wine. It wasn't wine. It was the Holy Spirit of God. But we notice here the command here in verse 18. We see the command is to be filled with the Spirit. Now this command is in the present tense. It's in the present tense, meaning that those that are saved, you've been born again, you've got the Holy Spirit of God living in you, we are to constantly be seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a suggestion. It's not optional. It is a command straight from the Bible that God expects every single one of His born-again Christians to be working from the Holy Spirit of God, to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, there's not, when we stand before God one day, we're all going to give an account of our lives. There's not enough excuses that can justify the lack of the filling. It is a command in His Word. I mean, think about it like this. If it's a command, we are to do it, and we're not doing it, that means we're living in disobedience, right? We're living in disobedience to God because it's a clear command here in Scripture. It's as much a sin to not be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is to lie, or to steal, or to commit adultery. All right? It's the same thing. It is disobedience to God's Word. Now, it's important to note as well, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's important to know that at the moment of salvation, The moment you get saved, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that Holy Spirit of God comes in and He indwells you. He lives within you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He's the author of Scripture. Amen. But in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 9, the Bible says, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Now, as Christians, it's important to note that with that Spirit in us, He lives in us, He indwells in us, but He doesn't always have all of us. A lot of times, you know, we are filled with music, the music of the world. We are filled with making more money. We are filled with the things and the fun things to do in life and being entertained in life. And so the more of sin and the more of the world that we put in us, you know, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, all those things, the more we take on of that, the less we have of the Spirit. And so that is why we see today the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be constantly sought after. Galatians 5, verse 25, the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you turn over to Luke chapter 24, flip over to Luke chapter number 24, and we see here in Luke chapter 24, look here starting in verse number 46. Jesus gave the command to the disciples that they were to tarry until they were filled with the Spirit. They weren't to go out and do the work of the Lord. They weren't to go be a witness until they had this power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, let me read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 46. Verse 46 says, And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. Preaching what? The gospel. Preaching the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the command to be filled is there. We are commanded to be filled, but Jesus gives here the command is to tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, right? I want you to see this is the promise of the Father. This is God's will for you to be filled. If you flip over to John chapter 14 and look over here in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, look here in verse 16. John chapter 14, look there in verse number 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and He, you get that? And He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, get this here, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You see, the promise comes from the Father. He dwells within us. Look there at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you see here the disciples were to tarry until the promise. The promise came from the Father. The promise is the Comforter. A Comforter means another one to come alongside. You know, Jesus was here on earth, but He couldn't be with everybody. So He went back to heaven, and the Father sent the Comforter, the power. And so that power is available to us, but we've got to earnestly pray. We've got to earnestly seek the Spirit. Before we can go and be a witness, we've got to seek the Spirit. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you know, we think that the disciples, you know, they walk with Jesus and they talk with Jesus, but here's the thing with the disciples: Jesus told them to tarry, He told them to pray, Jesus told them to seek God's face and pray and wait for that power to come upon them before they went out. Hey, if they would have went out without that power, I believe they would have been wasting their time. Jesus specifically said Wait until that power from the Father comes upon you. Think about, you can have a big old engine in your car. You can have a 12-cylinder engine, but it's no better than four if there's no gas in it or no battery powering it, right? But let me ask you, when's the last time you tarried in prayer for God to work or move in something in your life? You see, too many times, hey, we just move forward. Hey, we might pray for something one time, but hey, we're moving forward. God, you need to get on the feel-good train because we're going forward, right? But how many times have you, we, us, how many times have we tarried in prayer and waited until God moves? And so our greatest need is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it is a command for us to be filled. But number two, I want you to see not only it's a command, I want you to see that being filled with the Spirit is to be sought after. It's to be sought after. We are to seek it. We are to seek it. And if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, and look at verse number 13. We need to seek this. How bad do you want it? Do you want it? We got to seek it. Look here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. The Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" You get that? You mean all I got to do is ask? The Bible says here, the command to be filled with the Spirit, it's not only to be obeyed, it's to be sought after, and Jesus gives it to those who ask. Now the context here of this is taken in prayer. Not just a casual prayer. This is a seeking prayer. This is not a, well, God bless me this day. Right? Well, how do you know if God blessed it if you're not specific, right? Hey, he's talking about a Spirit-filled prayer life. Seeking God. Seeking the Holy Spirit. Confessing sin. Walking contrary to the world, right? In James chapter 4 and verse 2, James says there, "You have not because you ask not." I mean, think about it. We have so much. We don't have so much thing, in life, even the Holy Spirit, because we don't ask. Do you ask? Do we ask? Do we ever ask for the Holy Spirit? Now, here's the thing with asking for the Holy Spirit. Probably not a whole lot of people ask for the Holy Spirit. You know, we're asking for what? We're asking for health and for God to bless this and bless that and health this and health that. And we're asking for wealth. Health, wealth, and success, right? That's how it goes. That's usually what we're asking. But we're never asking for, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power." And you might say, why is that? Well, I ask you, why is that? Why do we not ask God to fill us with his power? I think it's because we don't want to lose control. We don't want to lose control. I'm not talking about rolling around on the floor. I'm talking about we don't want to lose control of our lives. We want power. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we want to do it. And we don't want anybody else to tell us what to do. But that is not seeking the Holy Spirit. That is not seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're seeking the Holy Spirit, a Spirit-filled life is a life of complete surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, your will be done. Lord, Romans 12:1 explains it perfect. Romans 12:1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Hey, it's just reasonable service to be faithful. Hey, it's just reasonable service to be faithful to church and faithful to tithing and faithful to soul winning and faithful to loving the brethren and faithful to praying and faithful to praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's God's will. It's God's will for us to be separate from the world. Hey, it's God's will to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Lay it all on the altar. And here's the thing. We're not going to be filled with the Spirit until we're ready to die to self. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. God's not going to fill us if we're already full of ourselves. And so I know D.L. Moody used to say it a lot of times, before we pray for God to fill us, we need to empty ourselves first. We need to empty ourselves of our sin and our pride and our lust and our lies and our wickedness and everything that that we have hidden in our heart, that we say, oh, that's just mine. That's just my sin. Doesn't matter to anybody. It's just my... No. You see, we need to be emptied of pride. We need to be emptied of callousness. We need to be emptied of our hard hearts. And then God can fill us. Let me ask you this. What have you prayed for more this week? What have you prayed for more this week? God's Spirit or our own comforts? You see, becoming a Spirit-filled Christian, one like Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, isn't going to come by casual Christianity. It's not going to come to the unfaithful. It's not going to happen. You're not going to just stumble upon it one day. It must be sought after. It must be constantly sought after. But you see, in today's Christianity, there's so many distractions. There's so many other things that we could be doing in this world, and we have actually forgotten how to seek God. We have forgotten how to seek God. Now we know how to scroll the internet, right? We know how to scroll the internet. We know how to get more followers on TikTok, and we know how to get more subscribers on YouTube, right? We know how to get a really good deal on eBay or whatever the case might be. We know how to do all those things, but do you know how to get on your face and seek the Lord in prayer and seek out the Holy Spirit of God? That's when it really counts. That's when it really matters. You're not going to be Spirit-filled until you decide in your heart, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, I want you more than anything else. But here's the thing. You're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to give up something. You know what it is? Yourself. Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. You see, when Christ was up on that cross, you know, he was crucified. My old man was crucified with Christ. That old man, the desires, you know, the desires to live in the world and to live in sin and to go into the bars and live that kind of lifestyle. When I got saved, that old man was crucified with Christ. He's crucified, you know. You see, when I'm crucified with Christ, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for me. There's no room for me. It's all about Him. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now I know we're here after lunch, and so we all got a big, full belly. But have you ever been hungry? You ever, you know, you get hungry and you desire food? Have you ever hungered and thirsted after the Word of God? Hey, I didn't get to my Bible reading this morning. Oh, I need to get to my Bible reading. Hey, I didn't get to my prayer time today. Oh, I got to get to my... Oh, I'm hungering and thirsting for it. Have you ever been there? In Psalm chapter 42, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Right? Think about that for a minute. Do you truly seek the filling of the Holy Spirit of God? Let me give you a third thing here today. I want you to see, not only it's a command, not only is it to be sought after, but it's also necessary for the work of God. Being filled with the Spirit is necessary for the work of God. If you flip over to Luke chapter 4, and look here, you know, again, this is Jesus being tempted by the devil and everything, that account there. But I just want to point out a couple verses here to you. In Luke chapter 4, look there in verse number 1. Luke 4, 1, and the Bible says here, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus. This is God. Okay? He's full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We need to get a hold of this, that Jesus, who is God, who died for our sins on the cross, who rose from the dead, He's seated at the right hand of God. He's the creator of all things. And one day He's coming back. But this is the one who's full of the Holy Ghost. This is the one that was led by the Spirit. And then look there in verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Doesn't say anything that about Him returning in His own Spirit. He's God. He created everything. But it says here that He returned in the power of the Spirit. We got to get a hold of that. We got to get a hold of it, because even Jesus did the work in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He preached in the Spirit. He healed in the Spirit. He cast out devils in the Spirit. And He endured the cross in the Spirit. Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. And so as Jesus, who is God, in the flesh, sought the power of the Holy Spirit of God, what about us? What about us? Should we not need that power even more than Him? Should we not seek after that power even more than Him? When we go to do God's work, should we not use Jesus as an example to not be filled in our own flesh and be filled with the Spirit? How much more do we need Him? If you would, flip over to Acts. Flip over to the book of Acts here. The book of Acts here in verse Acts chapter 1. The Bible says here, again, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Again, we see from the promise of the Father. Look at verse 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And hey, this power, this Holy Spirit of God, let's read on a little bit more in verse number 8. In verse 8 he says, but ye shall receive power. What kind of power? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And why is this Holy Spirit coming? Why is there this power coming? He tells us. And ye shall be witnesses. Right there. That's the reason for His power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, the greatest work of God, in its fullness, is to be a witness. It's to be a witness. That's why He left us here. I mean, why not? Hey, if there was nothing else to do, why not, when you get saved, why don't you just take us on up? Right? But no, He's left us here to do the work, to do His work. Mark 16:15 says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. So many people, so many churches, we don't have this power. We don't have this witnessing power. We don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, because we're trying to do everything in the flesh. But let me tell you, you cannot do God's work in God's power without God's Spirit. We must seek after His Spirit. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, the Bible says, the flesh profits nothing. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We can look all throughout the Bible. Jesus is our greatest example, but we can look at Moses. He was filled with the Spirit. You know, Moses, you know, whenever God told him to go to Pharaoh, he made up a bunch of excuses. I can't speak. I can't do this. He couldn't lead Israel out of Egypt without God's Spirit. And you know, you can go on. You can look at Gideon. Gideon was a fearful man until he got the Spirit of the Lord. David, you know, David fought Goliath. You know, here's the thing for you. When I think of David, you know what I think of? I think of Roman. I think of Roman. I think of a young man there. He wasn't battle tested. You know, he was a skinny, you know, he was just a young man, right? And he went up against the Goliath, not in his own power, not in his own strength, but he went in the power of the Lord. And you know what happened. And Jesus is an example. The apostles, they couldn't even start their mission until Pentecost came. And Jesus told them to tarry there until they'd be endued with power from on high. So those are our examples, and we could pick out more, but those are our examples to look at when we're looking at doing the work of God, because at the end of the day, it's God's work, right? We are to do the work of God, but we need His Spirit to do it. So far we've seen the filling of the Spirit. It's a command, It must be sought after, and it's necessary. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Hey, this isn't just for those disciples. This is for you. This is for all of us. We all can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 32, the Bible says, "And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." You get that? Acts 5:32, "The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." And so here we go. We can look at this. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's not because God doesn't want to fill us. God wants to fill us, but it's because we haven't done our part. We must obey. Hey, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. So, hey, you can ask yourself, do I really love Jesus? Well, do you keep His commandments? And there's more than 10, right? There's more than 10. Every single one of us can be saved, can be filled with the Holy Spirit once you've been saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Hey, it's God's command. He's going to do the filling. Okay? We just need to obey Him. We need to be obedient to His soul-winning plan. In Matthew 28:19-20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach them what? The gospel. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." In Acts 1, verse 8, we've already looked at that, but that's another one. "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Witnesses, okay? Hey, if you're saved here, you got a testimony, right? Of how God saved you, how you saw yourself as a sinner, condemned to die in hell, and you had nothing but to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and receive Him as your Savior. Hey, just talking about going and being a witness, giving the gospel, telling somebody how you got saved. Every single person can do that. Every single person. I know lost people that's done it. But John R. Rice said this. He said, "A spiritually healthy Christian is a soul-winning Christian. In the nature of the case, one simply could not be filled with the Spirit and not have in mind the first main duty and purpose of soul-winning." There's another story about a pastor here that had been in the ministry for over 50 years. And he had a young pastor come to him and asked him, "How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit?" And so the old man led him to the front of the auditorium and then back into the Baptist area there, Baptistry area there. And they went up there and got on the edge of the water, and they both got down into the water. And they stood there for a moment looking at each other. And then the old man, he took that young preacher and he pushed him under the water, and he kind of held his head there for just a little while. And finally, he noticed he was having a hard time breathing. So finally, he led him up, and the young man's coughing and trying to catch his breath. And they asked him, "What was that for?" And the old man said, "When you want the filling of the Spirit of God as much as you wanted air just now, you can have it." How bad do you want the filling of the Holy Spirit of God? Hey, the power experienced in Pentecost, the power to see souls saved from that and going out and being a witness. Hey, it's not only something we're commanded, it's something that we've got to seek after. We've got to go and do the Lord's will, and you can be filled as well. And lastly, I got one more here for you. What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? Now, we can go through the whole book of Acts and we can see what happens when you're filled with the Spirit, okay? But if you could just turn over to Acts, I'll give you a few verses here. In Acts chapter 4, look over to Acts chapter 4. Look there in verse number 4. After they had spoke and preached the gospel, and in verse number 4, in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Right? And so when they were filled with the Spirit, they went out, they were a witness, they preached the gospel, and 5,000 men got saved that day. Amen. And you go down to verse 32, look in verse 32, it says, "And when they had prayed," it's important, they prayed, you get that, they prayed, "the place was shaken where they were assembled together, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that? They prayed. They prayed. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then this is what happened. And they spake the word of God with boldness. In verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had, right here, they had all things in common. You see, when you pray together, when you get filled with the Spirit together, you go out, you speak the Word of God with boldness together, you're all in one accord. You have all things in common. Okay? And verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness. What power is this? This wasn't power of the flesh. This was power of the Holy Spirit of God to preach the gospel. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Everybody's needs were met. Why? Because they prayed. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because they went out and they used their witness. They were a witness and they were all in one accord. They had all things common. They even sold their own belongings and possessions and brought the money there to be distributed out to those who needed it. And so it got me thinking on Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You ever wonder why there's times we don't have our needs met? Maybe some of us are not having our needs met now. Could it be that we're not praying, seeking the Holy Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Could it be? Perhaps, maybe, we need to reevaluate here through the preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word here. Hey, do I seek the Holy Spirit? Do I truly seek the Holy Spirit? I mean, some of us here, you might be running, you've been trying to serve the Lord and you've been doing this, but you've been doing it all in the flesh. Maybe it's time to quit doing it in the flesh and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, some of us have maybe lost our fire. Right? We've lost that fire, that zeal. Right? We have a form of godliness, but there's no power there. Right? We need to seek that power again. We need to renew that light and power in our life. Well, maybe there's somebody here that's never truly experienced that power. Maybe today is the day you need to come to Jesus for salvation. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. If you come forward, tell me you need to be saved. Tell me you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. But let me ask you this. Do you have power in your life? Do you have the Holy Spirit of God kind of power that the Bible teaches us about? If not, you can. You can have it. Once you're saved, you can have the fullness of the Spirit, but you got to seek it. You got to want it. You got to cut out some things. You got to die to self. You got to confess your sins. But hey, you say, I want that kind of power. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I think it's time we stop living in the routine. We continue to live in the normal routine and then wonder why things never change, never get any better. Well, today we need to come to the altar and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Lord, I'm giving it to you. Place it all at the altar. Hey, I'm not saying we need to try harder. All I'm saying is we just need to die to self and let Jesus take over. Let the power of the Holy Spirit rest on us for His sake. Let's pray.